Thank you, Pedro. You run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Okay.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Violence.
First of all, I want to mention the hat that I'm wearing was sent to me from the Witness Protection Program. I kid you not. I kid you not. Somebody from the Witness Protection Program sent me this hat. I can tell you, we're involved together with an FBI sting. I think he or she, and we'll say who it is currently probably in Florida or down south somewhere hiding out. I call he or she's voicemail, and I get a different name and a different voice and all that kind of good stuff. So it's really an undercover type of thing. It still is, but this person is in the Witness Protection Program, and I think it's sort of cool that he or she sent me this burgundy hat. Now, what I thought was real cool was last week, a star stepped up. I'm talking about Jessica McCaskill. That's right. She is the 147-pound world champion, WBC champion. She's got other titles as well. But the bottom line is she beat the girl that was the girl. In other words, you beat the man that was the man. Bottom line is she beat the girl that was the girl. I'm talking about Cecilia Brakus. The first time, it was a close fight, August 2020. Some people say, yeah, it was very close. Bottom line was, listen, Jessica won going away. I thought that one it was a 6-4 fight, meaning 6-4 in rounds, a 10-round fight. But this time, it wasn't even close. Jessica came out, and she licked Cecilia Brakus like a stamp. She beat the brakes off Brakus. I kid you not. The scores were 189, 99-90, and 98-91. Now, Jessica, of course, a marketeer. I think she's in the world of tech there somewhere in Chicago. Her record is now 10-2 with 3 knockouts. And, of course, Brakus drops to 36-2. Both losses were to the aforementioned Miss Caskill. Of course, she's got 9 KOs. Bottom line is, let's hear from the baddest lady pound for pound in women's boxing.
Congratulations is in order.
Thank you.
You cemented yourself and your legacy in the welterweight division. Just tell us how you're feeling right now.
I'm very excited. The last fight was a lot more exciting. This really just felt like work. This is my profession. This is what I do. I'll be a lot more excited to go back home and share it with everybody in Chicago. Hopefully get a chance to get back to St. Louis and Belleville because I have a lot of roots there, a lot of family there, and I just want to share it with everybody. This isn't just for me. This is for the community, for my fans, for people who've never seen a ring belt up close and personal, things like that. It's really big, and I have the opportunity and the platform to share it.
Talk us through the fight. So it seems like you pushed the pace. She had to keep up with your pace the whole fight. Tell us what was going on.
I just wanted to back her up. I didn't want her to come forward at all and think that she had any kind of advantage. She took a lot of big shots. There were some points where I tried, just to manage my spacing, and I got really boring. And so, I just tried to keep going forward and look for my angles. She has like an awkward style where her hands are kind of out, so you got to figure out if you're going to go over it or under it, or a lot of holding. Like I thought, it's not anything new. That's what happens on rematches when, the other side just isn't up for the fight, so.
And what do you think the difference was tonight compared to the first night in Tulsa?
The difference was, I think I'm just, more mentally sound, and she's just completely not. And you have to be mentally tough in this game to even succeed, to get in the ring, to make it down the ring walk, And my confidence is sky high. It always has been. And we've just been training like animals, so. And this was just another night of sparring for me, really.
So you're the top of the division. You beat her in a dominating fashion. What is next for you? Where do you want to go?
There's so many options. I mean, we can go up. We can go down. Other people could come up. Other people could come down. I'm following Rick Ramos. He's my trainer, manager, best friend. And he makes the game plans, and we go through it. So we're ready for anything, and we just want to make the smart play. People don't have to sign crazy contracts. They don't have to fight people they don't want to fight or that aren't going to help their career. Don't just fight somebody because they call you out. Make sure it's the path that you want to take as a professional boxer.
The champ, baby, the ladies' champ. I'm talking about give it to her. Jessica McCaskill, an underdog going into that first fight in August 2020. I think she was a 10-1 underdog. A 10-1 underdog! And she beat her the first time. We'll talk about the ladies champion. Of course, the pound for pound ladies king, all that kind of good stuff. All the accolades Cecilia Brakus got and deserved. Well, guess what? They belong now to Jessica McCaskill. And of course, I'm not a big Clarissa Shields fan, but Clarissa Shields was a winner a fortnight ago, a short shutout winner as well. Straight up, maybe those women can hook it up at 147 and 154 pounds, maybe come together. Or, of course, Clarissa Shields talking about going into the world of mixed martial arts. I look forward to that. Now, I also look forward each week to bringing in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer, of course, coming to us from the Bronx. What's happening today, young man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Pedro. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm very proud of Miss McCaskill's performance. I mean, she was, believe it or not, she was an underdog again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Cecile Brake is obviously was the more well-known of the two, former world champion now. And at one point, she was the queen pin, you know, of and the standard of women's boxing for a couple of years. But I'm not going to say it was strictly age, but I think it definitely, you know, played a factor. And, it's a new day now in women's boxing, and McCaskill proved that it was not a fluke the first time around. I thought the scores were a little more distant. You know, I thought the fight was closer. Mm-hmm. I mean, rather than what the scores showed, but she clearly won in my opinion, and onward and upward. You know, I think she's a very marketable fighter. She's easy on the eyes, which helps, you know, in women's boxing, unfortunately, it's a factor. And she fights in a crowd-pleasing style. And I look to see more of McCaskill.
Okay. Juan Estrada and Chocolito Gonzalez, people say it was a close fight. Of course, one judge had it a bit of a rout. But it was a close fight. It went to a split decision. Estrada walks away. Some people think Estrada didn't win. I don't know what's going on here. I didn't score the fight. Did you?
I normally just score it rounds. I thought the fight could have been a draw or Chocolatito won it 7-5. It was, mm-hmm. There was a couple of rounds that I only saw it live. I didn't go back and watch it and rewatch it. I picked Estrada, but my hat's off to Chocolatito. You know, he is definitely one of the best fighters of this era. And one of the best fighters of that weight class all time. Not of that particular weight class, but other little guys. You know, he's really a joy to watch. And he's not as great as he once was, but he's still very, very good. And I thought he pulled it out. And I said, I picked Estrada. But, you know, it wasn't a robbery. Definitely some close rounds. I would have to sit back and watch it again. There's talk that they may do it again or...
They got to fight the Thai guy. Listen, the guy's got 19 names. Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, last week came up, I think, with a name I hadn't heard of before for this guy. But he's got like four or five names. Wengo Wengasek. That's the easiest one I can figure out as far as spelling his name or saying his name's concerned. He's supposedly in the future of Estrada now. And then maybe they'll go back and give it to Chocolito afterwards. Of course, Wengo and Chocolito don't mix too well for Chocolito, do they?
No, it's that one, you know, it's that kryptonite, you know. I mean, Soren Bisai, how I like to refer to him, you know, he, once again, another guy that's not as great as he once was. He fought last week to keep himself busy against his fellow countrymen. That's the fight to make, him and Estrada for sure. But Chocolatito, after the, you know, in the post-fight, he almost spoke like a fighter that was like, okay, I didn't get the decision. I'm good with my career. I almost thought that he was giving a retirement, so to speak. I don't know if he was in the heat of the moment. I mean, he's a very cool customer, very religious guy. If you caught that, did you get that vibe almost?
Look, the vibe I got was, I think I got robbed. I mean, that was the look on his face when the scores went down. He looked very surprised. He looked astonished. Yeah. I can use all those different adjectives. Bottom line is, we got to take a station break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, the World Boxing Council. You can check out their website, WBCboxing.com. We hope to get our show live up. Of course, the video going on the Facebook page for the World Boxing Council as well as the WBC website. So says El Presidente Mauricio Sulaiman. Notice I didn't say Jose there. I'm getting it right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217.
Tune it in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all. Come tumble and tumble down.
Yeah. Whoa. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing MMA today only on Sports Byline.
We don't back down from nobody. Hold on. We can take it in the street if you want to.
25 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to try to get through a lot with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. But first, of course, David Benavidez, a winner last week now, 24-0, the guy that had that coke problem, of course, the 24-0, the former WBC super middleweight champion. I believe he held the title twice, lost it on the scale. 24-0, 21 KOs, 11th round TKO winner over Ronald Ellis. Ronald Ellis was game, 18-2, a couple of draws, 12 KOs. Time was 2:03, round number 11. Here we go with the former WBC champion, David Benavidez.
Joining me now is the unbeaten David Benavidez. Congratulations, 21st knockout. You a bad man. How would you rate your performance tonight?
I mean, I rate it pretty good, but I know I could have did better, man. Ronald Ellis was a tough, tough competitor, man, and I just hope the fans like what they've seen. You know, I do a lot of combinations, pushings, and bunches. That's what they like to see, so I hope they had a good show tonight.
Was he tougher than you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, he was definitely tougher than I thought he was going to be, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes the one you think you're going to stop early, you stop until late, you know what I mean? So my hats off to Ronald Ellis. Him and his team, they're all gentlemen, so, you know, hats off to them again.
What do you think your performance tonight said to the 168-pound division?
Well, you know, I want all the big guys, you know, and I feel like, speaking for the fans, too, they would love to see me with all the big guys because, as you can see, you know, I love throwing punches. I love stopping people. So me against all the big names would be an amazing fight. You know, Charlo, Caleb, Plant, Canelo, all of them. I'm willing to fight all of them.
And you've made it no secret that you said next you would like Jermall Charlo. What would be the incentive for Jermall Charlo to come up to 168 to fight you?
Well, I mean, he was talking about me, say he can knock me out, so if it's that easy, come do it, man. You know what I mean? I feel like it makes sense for the company, for me and him. We both need that next step up, you know, to get into bigger and better things, so I feel like it makes sense on both parts.
What is next for David Benavidez? Realistically, when do you see yourself fighting again, and against whom?
You know, whoever, I'm willing to fight, you know, in August or September, whoever they want me to fight against, you know, I'm willing to fight whoever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right now, I've been professional 8 years. I want some excitement. I want the big names, whoever. Come on, come on.
You know, one guy that you guys have had, it seems like 4 years now, is Caleb Plant.
Yeah.
When do we think we'll see a David Benavidez Caleb Plant
fight? Whenever
he
grows some balls, I'm ready right now. But let's see if he's not. I don't think he's ready right now. So whoever he wants to fight me, I'm right here standing.
And, of course, everybody in this division wants Canelo Alvarez. You said, hey, look, I need to earn that fight. If you guys fought right now, do you think David Benavidez could take Canelo Alvarez?
I definitely feel like I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would
right now
I'd beat Canelo Alvarez, and I feel like it would be a great fight for the fans too. At the end of the day, people want to see great fights and fireworks, and that's what I give.
Yeah, and how long we see David Benavidez at 168?
I mean, I was on weight the whole week. You know what I mean? This was the first time I've been on weight the whole week. You know, so I just relaxed. So with the diet, you know, the diet that I had, and going back to Big Bear, I could stay at 168 for 3 more years.
Yeah, do you see yourself continuing this training in Big Bear, or do you go back now with COVID winding down? Do you go back training at your home gym or what?
No, definitely. I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all my fans deserve, I deserve to give my fans 110% of myself every time I step into the training camp. And Big Bear is that sweet spot for me, so I'm going to keep going back there until my career finishes.
All right. David Benavidez, that was really impressive tonight. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you, brother. And thank you. I want to thank all the fans for all the love and support. Thank you so much.
Big Bear, California. If you haven't been there, you got to go, no doubt about it. And especially in the wintertime, nothing but snow. Oscar De La Hoya had a training camp up there. Emmanuel Stewart had Kronk Jim West up there. We had a lot of memories up there, and I'll never forget, of course, singing My Way, drunk with Emmanuel. He and I were singing My Way on. We sort of did this, you know, at the nightclub where you're singing along with the music and that kind of good stuff. At the end of the day, I saw the tape the next day, and I broke it in half. That tape no longer exists. Sort of, I wish it did, but the bottom line is that tape no longer exists. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. Of course, we go back to the Bronx. Socrates Palmer. Sock, before we get to tonight's fights, I want to mention the fact that Chop Chop Corley, former fringe fighter, I think he held the title just for a minute, at 135 pounds, 140 pounds. He got chop-chopped in one of those bare-knuckle fights at 47 years old. Does this guy smoke? I knew James Brown, the godfather, so he smoked PCP. Does Chop Chop Corley smoke PCP too?
Chop Chop was a good fighter. He had his moments. You know, he was a WBO champ. He gave Miguel Cotto hell.
Mm-hmm.
He rocked Floyd Mayweather. You know, he had his moments. He's kind of like, he just couldn't get over the top. He had fought Zab Judah. You look at his resume. He fought really good fighters. Zab Judah, Randall Bailey. He was in there against the best. He's a good guy too. He's got about 6 or 7 biological kids, and then he also adopted his brother's kid. You know, at 47 years of age, he looked in great shape, but there's a difference between being fit and being in condition. He fought bare knuckle for whatever reason. I'm sure it had to do with money. He actually looked well, and for some reason, he quit. I actually was watching the fight. I actually enjoy bare knuckle boxing. I think they're doing a good thing over there. I do. It's not. It sounds barbaric, and definitely, you know, there's a lot of juice on the faces of these guys at the end of the night. But it's a sport, and I respect it. You know, it takes a set of grapefruits to get in the ring. You know,
it's a little bit different, man. When somebody's hitting, no. That's barbaric. I don't think I should be able to hit anybody with wrapped hands. I just don't think so.
The knuckles are exposed. They wrap their wrists.
Yeah, it was still basically, man, it's
a street fight in the gym. That's what it is.
Okay, a street fight in the gym. Let's switch gears. Yeah. Of course, today, Artur Beterbiev is going to defend his title in a few minutes, I believe, on ESPN, and he's a prohibitive favorite. Is he the guy at 175? Is he the main man, number one guy at 175?
In my opinion, he is. I know that Bivol, who fights in May, I believe, you know, can definitely maybe beg to differ with me. But Beterbiev, I think, has fought the better competition, and he's just a beast, man. I mean, he's a little older. It's a shame that he kind of turned pro at a later age. So his clock is probably ticking. He's got really good coaches. He's John Scully and the rival guy, I forget his name, Abner. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very well schooled and a vicious puncher. You know, I think he's the monster at light heavyweight. And I hope that they unify later on this year between him and B-Ball. And I don't think Danes has anything. I think it's going to be a walkthrough for Beterbiev today.
It looks like
I'd be shocked.
It's like a 10-1 fight. Some other fights on today's card, of course, Maurice Hooker and Virgil Ortiz. Hooker, once beaten junior welterweight, stepping up to 147. He went from a star at 140 and then losing that one fight to being a -550 underdog. Take it back. The favorite's -1100. He's +525. So the bottom line is he went from a stud to an underdog, a prohibitive underdog here. Is Virgil Ortiz really the guy he wants to come back in his first fight against?
Well, new weight class for Hooker. The last time he was in the public spotlight, he fought another trained Robert Garcia fighter, Jose Ramirez, and he was stopped in a barn burner fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got caught in a bad exchange, and Ramirez was able to stop him in one of the better fights of the year. Maurice Hooker is a very good fighter. I think he's going to have the height advantage in this fight.
Always.
But he's fighting a bigger, naturally bigger guy in Virgil Ortiz. And the one thing that kind of makes me like, what's going on here? He had to strip down to make weight in the second attempt. So I don't know how long that physique can hold 147. It's actually the second time this happened to him. I believe last year he had an issue with the weight. So I believe that his best days may be at 154. I like Hooker. I think he's a good fighter, but I think Ortiz should be able to have his way probably somewhere in the middle of 6th or 7th round. I don't think Hooker's going to be able to hang in there. And another thing that's pretty intriguing, they both are in great fight camps. One trains Terrence Crawford and Jamal Herring and those guys. And Robert Garcia has a gym full of killers. So that's something also that's pretty intriguing that I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor are going to do it at 140 pounds. That looks like it's going to go down May 22nd. Josh Taylor, is this a chance for him to, like, make the entire world look at him?
Hey, he surprised the heck out of me when he beat Regis Prograis to win that World Series of Boxing tournament that they had. He's a really good fighter, throws a lot of punches. Ramirez is a very strong fighter. It's a good stylistic fight, should be lots of fun. Both guys are easy to hit. But I think the punching power for Ramirez may be too much for Taylor.
Okay, the postman that fails to deliver the letters, I'm talking about Danny Garcia, is now talking about 100 fighting and 154 pounds. He was small at 147.
I think Danny is looking to just make money at this point. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I think eventually it should catch up to him. I mean, 154, it's not star-studded, but you've got guys that would probably stop him if they fought. Guys like Erickson Lubin.
Yeah. What's up with Terrence Crawford? What's up with Terrence Crawford? Hey, cut you off real quick. We'll cut up, we're like a minute and a half from a break. What's up with Terrence Crawford?
I don't know. I haven't heard much. There's been some rumblings. Virgil Ortiz, you know, saying that he would fight Terrence Crawford next. And Oscar De La Hoya saying that he would okay it afterwards. You know, I don't know if he's just going to play things out and he's going to be the latest fighter that leaves Top Rank and maybe eventually we get the big fight that we anticipate of him and Errol Spence. Bud's a really good fighter, you know, and we hope that we get the unification fight later on this year, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, so Aram loses both Teofimo and Bud in, like, in the same year, real quick?
Yeah, man. Something's up, you know? I mean, is
Bob
done?
Bob doesn't want to spend the money. Bob doesn't want to spend any money. Bob's doing the old Don King thing, because if I can't use somebody else's money, I don't want to get involved. Bottom line is, Socrates Palmer, say hello to that agent of yours, and of course, say hello to Sebastian for me, your daughter, your wife, the whole nine yards. Say the family. Tell them I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pete. I will let them know Uncle Pedro sends their love.
Yeah, the great Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD, of course, only on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, Saturdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217.